Sabbath School Today, Volume 9, Chapter 52, Final Restoration of Unity. Think of it, the resplendent King of Kings and Lord of Lords coming in the clouds of heaven, surprising his enemies in the very act. He will come to rescue those who are loyal to him. Then the moment of truth will have come for all Earth's inhabitants. The Book of Revelation pictures that final scene. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and makes war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no one knew but he himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. For centuries, millions have endured and continue to endure wars, plagues, crime, grinding poverty, and unending fear. No one can say that God has brought this awful load of suffering on the world. Man has done this. Should not God be democratic and allow this planet to go on living in rebellion against his government and his universe? There is a ready answer. He has already done so. He still waits since the fall of man in Eden, hoping for repentance and reconciliation. He cannot and has never abandoned any remnant of his people who appreciate his character of love and respond accordingly. They are the ones who rightfully inherit the earth. But now in this present day, God looks down upon the earth and sees as plainly as we do that man has nearly ruined this habitat. It is evident that selfishness and sin make human life almost intolerable in many nations on earth. The Lord tries again and again to save us. He is pleading in the most sublime, compassionate language, saying to every human soul, "As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will ye die?" Love could not be more eloquent or more persistent. How will the lost feel when at last they actually see the face of him whom they have persistently resisted and rejected? For those who have urged and supported the mark of the beast, just to look in his eyes will itself be torment with fire and brimstone. The original language expresses the idea of their beholding in a flash the awful reality of their having rejected the one who suffered hell in order to save them. They can't stand it. The horror of their final realization of guilt tortures every cell of their souls. The Lord never intended that the sight of his loving face should do that to anyone. While it is true that our God is a consuming fire, it is only to sin that the revelation of his love is so destructive. If a human being persistently clings to any sin as a vine clings to a tree, the physical sight of him who is love incarnate must also be instant destruction. But Jesus promises that the pure in heart shall see God. They shall dwell with the devouring fire, with everlasting burnings. As Christ walked in Nebuchadnezzar's fiery furnace with the three Hebrew youth who believed him, so he will save those physically who have already permitted him as Savior to save them spiritually from sin. The enemy will capitulate. Even Satan himself at the end of history will openly, publicly confess before the inhabitants of earth and the intensely interested universe his hopeless rebellion and welcome the destruction that will mean that the great controversy is finally over. And every creature which is in heaven, and on the earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, "Blessing, and honor, and glory, and power, be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb, forever and ever." The second coming of Christ is not the end of happiness or of our delight in the flora and fauna of earth, but the beginning of a renewal of life without pain and death, both for man and for the planet. "Behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain," saith the Lord. In the final judgment, every human being will see that God could not have been more fair, more patient, more compassionate than he has been. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Rightly understood, the world has never heard any better good news than the glorious second coming of Christ. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. What a bargain for all men! This godly grace has already come to you. The hardest thing we have to do is to say no to sinful temptation, but this grace actually teaches us to say it. Believe the powerful good news, and immediately the second coming becomes your blessed hope. It will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. At any time when he comes, the waiting will seem to have been short. Worldwide, the grace of God is working night and day to purify for himself a people that are his very own. The nightly TV anchors may not tell us about this, but it is the most important news in the world, and it is good. Polly Penno.